today on Real Radio.
So people will say, we'll ask them, why should God let you in? Because I'm a good person. Listen, okay, the Bible says you've got to match or exceed the righteousness of Christ, literally, theologically, to get in. Well, good luck. We need him as our Savior.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called God's Priceless Cargo, Part 1, continues his series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Many years have gone by since the Apostle Paul first began his missionary journeys, and now Paul is sailing for Rome and for the end of his mission. In the message called Paul's Great Defense from Acts chapter 25 and Acts chapter 26, we found Paul giving his testimony in front of a crowd of thousands, including King Herod Agrippa. Paul's defense brought all of mankind on equal ground in front of God, and his account of coming to Jesus Christ told of Jesus being that Messiah that they'd always longed for. This outraged the people but did not deter Paul from sharing the gospel. Now, in the end, he would have been set free had he not appealed to Caesar in Rome. But that was all part of God's plan. And going to Rome in chains was the only way to accomplish that plan. Now, as we head into Acts chapter 27 with verses 1 through 38, those sailing with Paul to Rome are being prepared for what God has in store for all of them. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that we're often caught up in wishful thinking, but the majority vote on how things look means nothing to God. While on board the ship sailing from Rome, Paul warned the others that the storm would cause trouble ahead and the cargo would be lost. But Paul's advice he received from God to harbor the ship for the winter was ignored by the others with disastrous results. And now, continuing his lesson called God's Priceless Cargo, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I'm not going to mention his name, but there's been a Bible produced, and it's the Positive Thinker's Bible. And I got to get one. I want to see if that verse is in there. All those who live godly will suffer persecution. Well, that's not a very positive thing on the surface, you know. But it is according to God and his economy. He's in the middle of God's will, and you may be right in the middle of the will of God, and things are rough. And what are we saying? What do we do so often? God, have you left me? Where are you? My goodness, you know, we plan a trip or we get ready to do something and our pencil breaks while we're making our list out. Oh no, is God in it or not? Oh no. It's almost like throw salt over your shoulder and, you know, go back from underneath the ladder. Was that a black cat that passed in front of us? Give me a break. The Holy Spirit in us, the gospel that we follow, God ahead of us, is more resilient than all that. It's with difficulties. You may have brought a friend here this morning saying, oh man, I wanted them to accept the Lord today. What are you doing? Hey, well, here's the punchline. You're going to have difficulties in life. You're going to be riding on a boat. Only 3 of these guys out of 276 people were Christians. And they're all in the boat together. We're all in this boat together. And Jesus is the one that will get at least 3 of these guys through. Why are you yelling? I'm just so excited about this. I need this. I'm having a rough time, man. And I need this right now. Psalm 91. By next Sunday, you need to memorize Psalm 91. But anyway, I'm just going to give you a couple verses. Greatest psalm in the book this week. Psalm 91. Psalm 91 says, because he has set his love on me, therefore I will deliver him. God speaking. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's Psalm 91:14. Is that great or what? God has promised. God will do that. You can take that verse and plaster it on your refrigerator and wait for it to happen. It will happen. God is so committed to us. And the things that are going on in this portion of Scripture regarding life's difficulties is that life prepares us for eternity as Christians. But also this, the things of life not only prepares the Christian, it also causes the world to panic. My goodness, did you see the news this morning? I pulled this off America Online this morning. The horrible, again, to the almost to the minute bombing in Israel. Israel has now declared war on the Hamas. And they said they will spare no armaments, no manpower, no ideas, no effort to annihilate them. And the recent publication just came across the news wire is now the terrorist organizations say that they have now banded together and they're going to destroy Israel. This is on the news this morning. Better hang on to your seats. Listen, the world is in a panic. Suicide in America and suicide across the world. Suicide in Germany at all-time high. Unfortunately, and sad to say, in Germany, it's among the youth. But our youth is catching up, sad to say. No hope. Life will do that to you, you know. There's no promises given except that which is in Christ Jesus. The second point I want you to see in verses 9 to 12, and that is the world will always have an answer or a plan. Of course, the storm is raging, life is difficult, so watch what happens. Verse 9, now when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was already over, Paul advised them. Now, this is kind of funny. The fast being already over means the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, was passed. That means this is the year 59 AD. So that means it was on October 5th. They're sailing at least after October 5th when you're not supposed to sail. Are you with me? Mediterranean gets very hostile, very dangerous. So Paul, that's why it says right here it was after the fast. So it was after October 5th, the year 59. So here's Paul. This is almost funny. Paul advises them, saying, verse 10, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of lives. He's a little Jewish guy. They're sailors. Excuse me. Got a little yarmulke on. These guys have got, you know, sailor hats, yo-ho, you know, pirate's life for me thing. They're sailing, and it's tough. And you hear this little guy, maybe stand on the box. Excuse me. I think this thing's going to flop. Doesn't look good to me. And I could just see these guys pulling ropes and stuff and looking at this little Jewish guy. Who is this guy? Paul advises them. The word perceive here is an excellent word. It means to discern as a spectator. But it also means to discern correctly, to consider the situation and to render a conclusion. You know what Paul's doing? He's looking around. He's saying, this doesn't look good. Yeah, he was not a sailor, but he was a rabbi and he knew the Lord very much. But you got to put yourself in this little boat for a minute, or this big boat for a minute, and realize Paul, though, is a very famous man. And they've heard about his faith in God, no doubt. And they knew that he was a prisoner. He would have been bound as a prisoner. He may not have been a sailor, but he was this rabbi. But listen to this. He's the only guy on the ship that was probably qualified to be able to say, excuse me, I think you ought to listen to me. I've already been shipwrecked 3 times in my life. That probably got their attention. I've seen this happen before. Why did he say that? Because as we mentioned in verse 9, the fast was over and the storms were intense. By the way, by the time he reaches Rome, they would have been at sea on and off for 6.5 to 7 months to go very few miles. But Paul was discerning, very, very wise of him and wise for us to discern the times and the seasons in which you and I live. Look, people, I know, and you're going to have to tolerate me for a while. I'm still coming down from my Russia trip. And when you see how the rest of the world thinks, and then you come back to the West, you begin to believe what Mikhail Gorbachev said when he addressed the Supreme Soviet. Mikhail Gorbachev said, we will wait and we will hide until the time comes that the West will do what she does believes optimistically in what will not happen, he said, and bury their head in the sand for fear of the truth. We are still talking about Cold War stuff, but the U.S. State Department and the Pentagon is no longer in the Cold War mode. We're scrambling now to get Seawolf to operations because of the Soviet buildup in the submarine fleet. There's a lot of stuff going on, but the West just wants to forget about it. It's negative. Let's not talk about it. Come on, think a happy thought. Well, listen, I don't want to be a deliverer of bummerness here this morning, but the fact is, we need to be anchored in Christ. We need to have our security in Jesus. I was on a plane on a Monday, and this, you know, I'm sitting down there, and I got my Bible open, and just going, oh, Lord, just wash me, just fill me. And this lady, the waitress. They hate when you say that. Stewardess came by, and this lady behind me goes, oh, you have a paper. I need to see my horoscope to see what's going to happen. And it's like, oh, no. It wouldn't have been great. She opens up, you will be high, and you will suddenly crash. You know, what if I would have said that or something, you know? They never say things like that. They never say things like that. They say things like, you're going to have a happy life and things are going to be wonderful, no problem, and you're going to meet this guy today, or you're going to meet this woman today, and prosperity is right around the corner. It's always good stuff, right? And, you know, everybody wants to have good news, and this is no better news than anything in the world in the Bible. There's nothing better. But you know what? You can get a false sense of security. Paul correctly discerns we need to do the same thing. The world is caught up in wishful thinking. Verse 11, look what it says. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and by the owner of the ship. Well, no kidding. Paul makes his announcement. Hey, we're going to go down. I'm looking around. I've seen this happen before. We're going to go down. So the centurion takes a vote. Who thinks we're going down? Just this guy and his two friends. How many of you think we're going to be okay? Everybody raises their hand. Owner of the ship, everything's fine, fine. Can you imagine the helmsman? This is the guy on the wheel. He's got it. Stormy, rage, the helmsman hanging on. The owner of the ship, you got it? Don't you got it? Don't you have it? I got it. He's got it. Everything's going to be fine. He's got it. We're fine. So the centurion is persuaded by the helmsman. The wheel's probably going around, and he's hanging on, you know, flop, 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 flop. I got it. Everything's fine. The owner's going, you know, I'm going to make like 5,000 bucks off this deal. Everything's got to be fine. It's going to be fine. So the centurion goes, okay, it's going to be fine. Paul's information, out the door. Let's keep going. And the world will so often get caught up in wishful thinking. That will never happen. But listen, the majority vote means nothing to God. Nothing at all. It's amazing when we meet up with people and discuss the gospel with them. We ask them the question, why should God let you into heaven? Why should God let you in? And you know what the greatest response is, by and large, over and over again? Because I'm a pretty good person. Well, let me ask you something. Think about this for a minute. According to whose standards? Paul says those who judge themselves among themselves are not wise. What standard are you a pretty good person? Well, my neighbor is a mother mugger and a, you know, a bum, and I'm not like him. Well, that's good. You're not like him. That's good. But that's not why God lets you into heaven. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter if we've got one sin hanging on us or one zillion. We need him. So people will say, we'll ask them, why should God let you in? Because I'm a good person. Listen, okay, the Bible says you've got to match or exceed the righteousness of Christ, literally, theologically, to get in. Well, good luck. We need him as our Savior. But the world is caught up in wishful thinking. When it all comes down to the end, I'll I'll be on the good side. When my good and bad's outweighed, our ways against one another, it'll be okay for me. That's gambling. That's dangerous. Look at verse 12. Isn't the way we so often, or the world so often thinks? It says, and because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also. Look at, circle it. If by any means, oh yeah, if by any means they could reach Phoenix. That's not Arizona, Phoenix, Phoenicia. A harbor of Crete opening toward the southwest and northwest and winter there. What's it say? If by any means. We'll make it. We'll make it. We'll get there. But Dad, the wheels are falling off. We'll keep going. We've got it. We've got it. I think we're out of gas. Just another hill. But there's a gas station. We got it. Isn't that funny? We're going to make it. If by any means, we're going to get there. Now, optimism's great, but it needs to be logical. But the world makes so many assumptions because the world is emotionally unstable today. So you know what they did? They tested the winds. Look what it says in verse 13. When the south wind blew softly. Ah, you know what they did? They put their finger in their mouth. Right? You ever do this thing? Get your finger nice and wet. Put your finger up. Ah, slowing down. All right, it's changed direction. Get in the boat. Let's go. Let's go. I got to tell you real quick because I have no time really to even tell you this story, but it applies. We were in Lake Powell back in 1890, I think it was. I pushed it out of my mind as hard as I can. And we had this 55-foot houseboat. And we were on the shore, and this wind came and, like, stirred things up. So I had heard these stories about how insane Lake Powell's storms can be, and they can be. And my brother, who has spent much time there, says, man, when you beach your houseboat, you got to bury your anchors down in the dirt. Bury them, because those storms will come any time of the day, and it's tough. So here I'm thinking, great. And when they hit, he said, keep somebody at the helm and keep the engines full bore against the shore to hold it in. You mean we've paid money to do this? And then we show up. Oh, the price was right. It's cheaper. That's true. In August, monsoon season, storm warning, month of August. That's us. It's cheaper. Then you get there, and the month of August on a board is painted red. Danger, weather. So we're out there. And we kind of get moved around a little bit, but I'm thinking, let's pull the boat back and get it right on the shore and secure it good for the night, you know. So I'm looking in the water, and you're looking around and everything, so I'll take it. So I backed this monster up. And I even drew a runway on the sand. I'm not kidding. I had a runway with a thing, and I'm going to put this baby right on the sand right there. Man, I back up into in that channel, and I floored that baby. And we get this thing going. And we get about 20 feet from shore and hit this thing. And this little 5-year-old kid goes flying by. It's true. Lands on the deck. The refrigerators open up. Junk going everywhere. Rice everywhere. Just incredible crash. And I was just like shocked. I could have won $10,000 on that video program. And you know what? We dove into the water to look around and see what happened. And in the whole beach, there was a pylon about 2 feet wide and about 6 feet high, about 18 inches below the surface. It was like a toothpick in that lake. And what do you... I hit the thing. It bent the hull on the tip of the hull on the boat. And why am I telling you this? Because... Notes. I forget. If by any means, I'll secure it. Let me drive it. And it was a disaster. We need to correctly in the Lord discern the situation, not according to our opinion. What's going on in your life? What do you think about it? But what does God think about it? If you're like me, you'll respond emotionally. Then you back up and take a breath and say, God, what would you do in this situation? That's what Paul's doing. And then the final thing is in verses 13 to 38. It's in the next 5 minutes. 13 to 38. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose. The word tempestuous is the word typhoonus. And guess what English word we use for this? Typhoon. A bad water storm. But not long after, a typhoon headwind arose called Euroclydon. That sounds scary, doesn't it? It's a wicked, strong, destructive wind that descends out of the areas from 60 to 80,000 feet over the area of Europe, Western Europe. It comes down and races in the Mediterranean and descending, much like our Santa Ana or Santa Catalina winds. You know when our Santa Ana winds blow? They originate over Idaho. Did you know that? At 60 to 80,000 feet. And then they descend across the Nevada desert and come through our pass and blow everything over. It's the same kind of a deal, except this one is associated with water because the wind stirs up the water into the atmosphere. It's a typhoon. And it's coming from the very direction they need to go. That cracks me up. Is this too obvious or what? Don't you want to go to heaven? Why do we always say, oh, I don't think I'm going to make it? Because of the wind. Because of the difficulties. We've got to keep our eyes on who it's coming from. That's 99% of the victory right there. This word, Euroclydon, is a half Latin, half Greek word. And it can also be translated. This sounds like an old farm boy talking. It can be translated a northeasterner. Yep, that's what it is. Listen, the storm coming from that very direction meant two things. It was coming from the path that they had to head into, number one, and number two, it was God's will that they make it to their prescribed port, and yet they're in a wind. As Christians, our storms will come from the very direction where we're heading, heaven. Doesn't mean God doesn't love you. It means He's working with you. He's bringing us to the end of ourselves that we'll trust in Him. And by the way, God will make sure that we get to port, guaranteed.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called God's Priceless Cargo, Part 1. Thanks for listening. And you know, when all hope was gone, Paul still encouraged the men to believe in what God had told him, that even though they are lost at sea, all of them will be saved. And like Paul, we too are precious in the Lord's sight. And it's God's desire that none of us will die in our sin, but will come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. God's Priceless Cargo, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit, and will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. As we've journeyed through the book of Acts, there's one thing about the Apostle Paul that stands out more than anything else. Paul had a deep personal relationship with Jesus Christ. No matter what trial he was facing or how many times he went hungry or was beaten for the gospel's sake, he knew that nothing could separate him from the love of God. You know, God wants that kind of relationship with you and me. We're not here by accident, and only God can rescue us from our sin and shame. Now, if you've made a decision to follow Christ, or you're ready to open your heart and invite Him in, but you've got some questions, or you just want to know more of what a relationship with Jesus Christ really means, simply go to our website and tap on the tab that says Know God. That's spelled K-N-O-W, God. You'll not only find scriptures to support your decision, but Pastor Jack's also included a special video about what a commitment to Jesus Christ really means. So go to our website, that's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and tap on the Know God tab. It'll even give you ideas on what to share with others about salvation. Again, it's the Know God tab, and you can find it right there at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.